Mazzara and Parra project to Ally Wara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bandits scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Big show today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Adam Azer, Al Melchior, Heath Cummings. Al's already laughing at me.
Yeah, well, that big that you just said, that was the second take.
It's big.
So in the first take, it was much louder, but my eyes just bulged on my head because pierced my brain.
I'm excited. This is a show that if you're listening at home, in the car, whatever, listen for the whole thing. Got a lot to talk about here. Start with the trivia contest.
Are there some shows that people should just listen to the first part?
This is one of those shows where... No, by the way. Okay. I should listen all the way through. But this is one of those shows where it's just like, it was hard to rearrange the notes because, you know, there's so many important things to talk about today. So you have to stay for the entire thing to get all of everything that you need in fantasy baseball. All right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Trivia. Name the top three outfielders in Roto.
Mookie Betts.
Ah, you stole my guess.
Yeah, Mookie Betts is right. Who else?
And that gets more difficult.
Yeah. The first one's pretty easy.
Mark Trumbo.
Mark Trumbo is number two. Congratulations.
Thank Great you. Job, Al.
Who's number three?
Number three is not Giancarlo Stanton.
It's not Trout or Harper either.
Right. Yeah.
Or else this wouldn't be much of a trivia question.
Right. I don't...
Oh, he's looking through the notes to see if there's someone in the notes.
I'm trying to think of who did something last night.
He had one of the biggest hits last night.
Hmm.
He had a two-run homer in the eighth inning. The game-winning hit in a divisional rivalry during which his team, I believe, is now 8-0 against the other team this season.
It's a lot of good hints, and it's doing no good at all.
And they've won, I think, 12 in a row at their ballpark against this team.
So it's the Rangers.
Yes.
Ian Desmond?
Ian Desmond. Number three outfielder in Roto.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah. I don't know what I have to say about
that. By the way, great job getting with the clues there. You guys nailed it right away.
Well, you nailed it with the clues. That was on us. But that's amazing because I'm still getting over the fact he's a top three shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. He's got, I think, 8 home runs and 11 steals. And he's not even the most interesting Ranger to talk about because Jurickson Profar played first base yesterday and did some pretty cool splits. He certainly can stretch for a baseball. He looks very, very athletic, very talented over at first base. More on him in a second.
Is he a picking machine?
Like picking balls out of the dirt?
Yeah.
I don't know if... Yeah, he did that once. It was very impressive. I'm very excited about Jurickson Profar.
I could play first base.
You cannot. That is such a misconception.
After
here.
You dunk, then right, you know, we'll handle that.
Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. The big news. Let's start with the big news. Big news item number one. You want to read it, Heath, or you want me to read it?
I'm not discussing this matter.
Yordano Ventura is kind of a big, mean jerk face.
First off, he's not big. He's a small man.
All right, fine. But is he mean?
I don't know that he's necessarily mean. I would agree with the jerk face part.
Yeah, he's a bit of a jerk face.
Yeah.
It's mercurial.
Yeah, it sucks, really, because not the Ventura part, because you don't really use him anyway anymore in fantasy, because he sucks.
He's 73% owned. That's a little too high, huh?
That's going to drop considerably. But, sheesh, Machado's getting, what, 8 games for this?
That's so annoying.
6 to 8.
That's not fair.
That's complete crap.
No, I mean, it is fair.
It's completely
fair. You can't charge the amount.
Right.
It's not fair for fantasy owners that...
Agreed.
That we have to sit through that. He shouldn't have done that. But that's the thing that you want to weigh in. And if people missed it, Yordano Ventura threw it, Machado, and Machado charged the mound and
punched him in the face.
Kicked his butt, actually.
I mean, it's, you know, puts it in line with the Odor suspension. It seems like it shouldn't be quite the same. But I thought the Odor suspension should have been longer, so.
The Odor suspension had the added element, or the Odor incident, the added element of him, in my opinion, clearly throwing the ball at Jose Bautista's face on the throw to first.
See, I don't know if I agree with that.
Like, maybe he wasn't trying to hit him in the face.
No, he was buzzing the tower.
But, yes, buzzing the fine. At the very least, buzzing the tower. It was less conventional than the guy charging them out and throwing
the punch. On the other hand, Odor was standing there while Bautista approached him, and he punched him in the face and then didn't do anything. Machado went to Ventura, punched him, and then kept hitting him.
Do you feel like Salvador Perez could have caught up to Machado? Because he really took his time getting out there. Both of them.
Well, he's not a fleet of foot guy.
I know.
Sal
but
is
very slow.
Sal is
Machado. That was like Friday the 13th, where Machado is Jason.
You think he wanted
and
Sal to catch him?
He's walking as fast as Salvador Perez is running, and you're like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Better news. Jameson Taillon. I'm looking forward to finding out if it's Taillon or Taillon tonight when he faces the Mets. Now, they had a doubleheader yesterday, so they need someone to fill that spot. And they're going to bring up Taillon to make his debut today. He had Tommy John surgery in 2014 and might be sent down after the start today, but we don't know. So how urgent was it to pick up Jameson Taillon in your leagues?
It was, to me, urgent enough that when I saw Buster Olney's initial tweet yesterday that the Pirates might have an incentive to call him up, and this was just speculation on Olney's part, that I went to every league to see where he was available and either picked him up or tried to pick him up.
Compare your excitement for Taillon to your excitement for Urias when he was called up for his first start, also against the Mets.
I would say similar level because I reacted the same way with Urias. Now, the thing is with Taillon, he's probably not at the major league level. I mean, you never know, but I'm not expecting him to be a strikeout pitcher. He's been okay strikeout pitcher in the minors. His swinging strike rates have been right around league average at every level. So that may not look super encouraging, but he's walked almost no one this year. So I'm trying to remember exactly. I compared him to Jeff Samardzija in the write-up that I did yesterday. I think that's fair. I think he has a chance to be very efficient. I don't think innings in given starts are going to be an issue for Taillon because they're skipping starts to preserve his innings, and he's been pitching six or seven innings pretty much every time out in AAA. So I think
who did you drop for him?
I'm trying to remember. I know in at least one league, I think maybe two, it was Junior Guerra.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Would you drop like a Francisco Liriano or a Drew Smyly?
No.
I wouldn't, but, you know, again, I mean, I wasn't really eager to drop Guerra because these were leagues where he was a sparp, and I thought he had some value. So,
well, I don't really have any leagues where Liriano or Smyly are the worst pitcher on my roster.
That's the thing I was just going to say.
I generally have worse pitchers on my bench than those guys.
Would you drop Vince Velasquez for Jameson Taillon?
I wouldn't either.
No. Because I don't think, I think the most likely scenario, and we don't know for sure, I think the most likely situation is Taillon pitches today and gets sent back down.
But I just want to add...
But he certainly could be back.
Yeah, he will be back. Right. Because that's the reason that they did skip a start recently and plan to skip more, is because they want him to be available on a pretty regular basis later on in the season. So even if it gets sent down, I think he's worth going after with all your gusto.
I don't remember if we talked about this on the air or off the air. I think it was off the air. But as we look at Jurickson and Profar... The trade offer I told you about off the air, right? The Liriano for Profar?
No.
Yes.
I don't know.
I think it was off the air.
I think it was off the air. Anyway, I was offered Jurickson and Profar for Liriano in our podcast league. And I'm really considering it because I'm very excited about Profar. I don't think I can do it. I don't have enough pitching depth. But Profar, 58% owned. He led off again. He went 2-for-4. He scored a run and looked very good defensively. Yeah, we did talk about this. Yeah, because he was doing the splits and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Well, we talked about Profar. I don't know if we talked about the trade offer. But either way, 58% owned now for Profar. Fielder DH that had another horrible game. Mitch Moreland sat on the bench. What ownership percentage should Jurickson Profar have?
I think, it was you that said, or who said 90?
I kind of was joking.
Oh, okay.
But only half joking.
Yeah, because I don't think it should be 90. I think just because of the risk that... You know, eventually he's going to cool off. It's just a question of how much will he cool off and then what's his role then. I just worry that the playing time could evaporate at some point. So because of that, I would say 75%.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere between 60 and 70. I think he's approaching the level he should be. He should be owned in all roto leagues. He should. If you're talking about a 12-team head-to-head, though, where you only have one utility spot, I don't know that he's going to be a top 12 second baseman.
So where's Profar eligible right now? Just second base?
Yes.
So he's going to play a little shortstop. He's going to play some first base. So he could be very eligible.
Well, I think he'll be first base and second base. He's going to play a lot of DH too, I would guess.
I don't know when he'll play five games at shortstop. Might take a while.
I think it's going to take a while.
He hasn't DH'd yet, has he?
Yeah.
He
DH'd. No.
I thought he DH'd Odor's first game back.
Very possible, actually.
Okay, maybe.
Might be right about that.
Okay, well, never mind. But, you know, clearly the seemed to be looking for a place for him in the field mostly.
Yeah, and he, you know, okay, so Profar, we spent enough time talking about him yesterday. He's interesting. If you had Jonathan VR, would you rather have Profar or VR?
I still have VR ranked higher. I moved both of them up in my rankings today, but I moved VR up higher.
All right. Al?
Yeah, I'd rather have VR too.
Jorge Soler is on the DL with a hamstring strain, and Alberto Almora, a first-round draft pick, was called up. He pinch-hit yesterday. Tommy La Stella started at third. Chris Bryant played left field. Javier Baez did not start. Now, Almora, was there any level of interest in picking Alberto Almora up?
I got him in NL only, but I spent a lot of my fab. I think $33 out of 100, if I recall.
Did you have to? Were other people bidding? Did you look to see?
I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
So I just saw, you know, the email alert that we get. So I don't know. Hopefully I didn't overpay. But I didn't. I looked at him in our podcast categories league, which is a deeper league.
16 and
then,
teams.
And then thought better of it, and then somebody else got him. But that's, I drew the line there. So I'm really looking at Almora as a deep league option because he basically gives you steals and maybe batting average, and the playing time situation is totally unclear.
Yep. Oh, it's going to be such a mess now. I mean, there's going to be, he plays maybe 2 or 3 days a week, I think, unless he gets hot.
Yeah, but exactly. And I think he could, but I think even then, maybe it's still 4 or 5 because of just how Joe Maddon operates and getting Baez in there and Matt Caesar on occasion and
Tommy La Stella.
Has got to play a couple times a week.
So let's talk about Tuesday's standouts. And I thought one of the things that really stood out, there were a lot of pitchers. Well, first of all, I'm labeling this day as Tuesday as Overachievers Day. So guys like Adam Duvall and Mark Trumbo and Chris Carter, Eduardo Nunez, Jake Lamb, they had big games. We're going to put them on the legitometer in a little bit. That's going to be a big crux of the show. But before that, I want to know who stood out to you. And there are a lot of, you know, the fringy starting pitchers we always talked about, the ones that they have a good start. You go check your leagues to see if they're available. There were a number of them yesterday, and I didn't pick up any of them. Some of them just weren't available. I was kind of relieved because there were a lot of good starts that just didn't really move me to make a claim. That's one thing that stood out to me. How about you, Heath? What stood out to you in Tuesday's action?
Well, I think you start with Aaron Sanchez, just because all we talked about at the beginning of the season how this didn't seem like a great year for Sparps. And it's turned out we've got some pretty good Sparps this year. Aaron Sanchez might just be the best of them. Drew Pomerantz has been pretty awesome himself. And it worked out well, but even though Chris isn't on the show, I guess we can still talk about what he wrote on the site. Chris wrote about Sanchez yesterday, basically saying that Sanchez is what we hoped Stroman would be.
The best ground ball to fly ball ratio in baseball in terms of ground balls. 3.38. That's just outrageous for Sanchez. And he got 12 strikeouts yesterday. He's got a 2.91 ERA. Sanchez is the number 13 starting pitcher in points leagues, number 25 in Roto. He has a 1.15 whip, which is really good, but it's good, but it's a little bit higher than a lot of the guys in the top 20, which is probably why he's lower in Roto. But right now for Sanchez, the last four starts, he's got 5 walks combined. So even the walks are going down. I traded Sanchez to Al last week as part of our Dozier deal. And one of the big reasons why, Al, is there's an innings limit at some point for Sanchez, right? He's already at 80 and a third, and last year he was at 102. So, you know, he might move to the bullpen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a logical move. You know, he's probably got some comfort in that role. And like you said, they probably do need to preserve his innings. So I still was happy to get him because I think as long as he's going to be in the rotation, he's having such a breakout this year. Like you mentioned, the improved control, the strikeouts, and meanwhile, he's still getting a lot of ground balls.
Yeah. Well, do you think it's a good time to sell Aaron Sanchez because we don't know how many innings he'll throw?
I don't know that the perception of Aaron Sanchez has caught up to the performance of Aaron Sanchez yet. So I'm not interested in selling him for a pitcher that ranks in the 40s or 50s. Or that I expect to be in the 40s or 50s.
Would you sell him for Justin Upton? Would you give up Aaron Sanchez for Justin Upton?
If I had a lot of pitching and needed an outfielder, sure.
I mean, that's a good thing about a guy like Sanchez. It's a good chance you do have other good pitching.
Yeah, except in a points league, I'm probably using him every week as a swap.
Well, that's a different situation, I suppose.
Right. I'd sell him in Roto. I don't think I'd sell him in a points league.
Here's one other thing about Sanchez. So he has 7 starts of 7 or more innings and 10 starts of 6 and 2/3 or more. He's thrown a lot of innings, 80 and a third. But he hasn't thrown more than 106 pitches. So we always talk about innings, but what about pitches? Maybe because he's been so efficient getting the ground balls, maybe he can throw more innings than what we originally expected.
I mean, that's my hope. Be good to get some information on this because, you know, I think teams, at least some organizations, I think do take a very nuanced approach to this, looking at stressful innings and pitch count rather than innings count. So, yeah, I think that's just one more reason to be hesitant about trying to do a, you know, quote unquote, sell high.
I mean, we talk about an innings lineup. What do we think? He's halfway to his number of total starts? If he continues to average this many innings, he gets to 160 innings, he goes to the bullpen?
That's probably about right. Yeah. I think probably no, more than halfway, yeah.
Okay.
Also possible that they shut him down for 2 weeks in July or something like that and conserve his innings that way. You never know. So, Al, I want to talk about something that came up on the Opening Line podcast yesterday. How do you pronounce the acronym for weighted on base average?
WOBA.
WOBA. So it's BABIP. That's what you're telling me.
No, I know why you're saying that.
Almost.
Because I made this argument last year. I think it was two years ago when we had the big BABIP versus BABIP debate. And I said, well, are we going to start calling it WOBA?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Basically, every single word that goes A consonant, I consonant is the A sound.
What sound?
A.
Oh, okay.
No, it isn't. B A B I E S. Babbies?
Okay. That does not do the same thing.
What are you talking about? A
there's
consonant.
There's an E after the I.
What did you say? A consonant.
Static.
All right.
I put a whole list of. We had
see,
this,
I think now, you now, needed now, you, another B in the middle there to make it BABIP.
You put your Babby in the bassinet.
Okay.
But no, you say bassinet, but you say basin.
It's true.
I'm so confused.
Yes, you do say basin. Your argument is completely moot.
No, I put a whole list of these words in the For the People podcast league when we had this discussion in that thread.
I must not have seen that.
Yeah, it's almost universal. It's obviously BABIP.
But what's funny is that Doc Kratzer, who wrote our theme song, he has that line, don't let low BABIP scare you. And he said that, what did he say? That he recorded two voice tracks, one saying BABIP and one saying BABIP.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that the BABIP voice track became more recognizable. I think that pretty much settles the discussion, at least on this show.
I can't wait for the stereo remix to come out of that.
It's in our theme song. It's got to be BABIP. So that was Heat's standout. Aaron Sanchez, how about you, Al?
I'll go Jared Eichhoff, who had a great performance against the Cubs. Tough matchup, came through, and been better of late. So, you know, I think he created quite a bit of buzz early in the season, and then after a string of less impressive starts, went under the radar. But and I admit I was one who kind of went to sleep on Eichhoff too. But I think that was a mistake because the one worry that I had about him going into this year was the fly ball rate, which has been much lower this year. The control's been better, and that's been a strong suit for Eichhoff. So, you know, I talked about Tyone being kind of Samardzija-like. I put Eichhoff probably in the same type of category, except that Samardzija gets a lot of run support, and you can't expect Eichhoff to get much run support at all. So they don't clearly have equal value. But I think he can give you similar types of ratios. And I think that alone, even though, you know, he might not get you as many wins as you'd like, I think Eichhoff, let's see, yeah, he's at 57%. I think it could stand to be a little higher, maybe 70.
How?
What's going on over there?
I agree with everything. I agree with everything Al just said, but something he said is something that comes up on almost every podcast, and like I'm so tired of. He's a lot like this pitcher, except his offense isn't as good, so he's probably not going to get as many wins. And I really think, as the pioneer in the points league industry, we should make a change.
In what?
Let's reduce the significance of wins and losses. Give more credit for things that pitchers actually do.
I
completely
agree.
And totally stop penalizing pitchers for losing games, because that's the stupidest thing.
No, see, that I don't agree with.
If you're going to crumb with a win, I think you do need to penalize them for the loss.
Because, okay, maybe it's 1 point for each then.
But
if you know what? If a pitcher deserved to get that loss, then you've already lost points for the other bad things they did. If they deserve to get that win, you've already gotten points for the other good things they did.
I, you know what? I cannot make a good rational argument against what you're saying. And yet I find in the quality start leagues like our
For the People
categories, yes. For the People League, that watching my pitchers pitch or following their box score is a really frustrating experience because something's missing.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for the win that doesn't matter, you know, or rooting against the loss that doesn't
matter. That's just
matter.
Because we've been programmed.
Exactly. That's why I say I could give you a rational reason, but I'm having a hard time overcoming my programming.
The only problem to me with Roto is that there's only these certain things that you get credit for, and there's so many things that go missed. And so we created points leagues to solve that problem, but like, why don't we just make it more representative of what the player actually did?
Well, and if we're going to extend that, and I know we got a lot to get to, I'll just play the role of Adam here real quick.
Yeah, thank you.
But we had a discussion in the office the other day about what should count as a quality start,
right.
Which is an age old discussion, but. At least for fantasy purposes, if you're going to reward somebody for six innings and three earned runs, I do think it needs to be two earned runs.
I'm fine with that. If it was a points league, I wouldn't have points for quality starts either. I'd just give them more points for the things they're actually doing. Bump up innings a little bit, bump up strikeouts a little bit, bump up the negatives a little bit, and just only give them credit for what they do.
Well, okay, my big issue is I think I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying. I just think that there is some strategy in drafting players who you think are going to get wins. And that is part of fantasy baseball, evaluating a player based on what team he's on. Maybe you don't like it, but I don't think it's a bad part. I don't really mind it.
Okay.
I think it's part of everything that you evaluate in a pitcher. How many wins is the guy going
to
get?
If you want to have wins, you can play Roto.
Now, or you can play points, but I just think that, I think that in our standard scoring points leagues, I think a seven points for a win is too much. And I've always tried to rationalize it by equating it to a strikeout total. So what is the equivalent of 20 wins in strikeouts? Maybe like 220?
That sounds about right.
It's hard because wins is a team category and strikeouts is a personal category.
But what I'm saying is I think 220 strikeouts should be the same amount of points as 20 wins. And they aren't. They're 30 points different. So I think we should maybe make wins like 6 points or 5.5 points in that scenario. I know everybody wants like a big round number, but I just think 7 points for a win is too extreme. You get 140 points for 20 wins. You get 110 points for 220 strikeouts.
Let's just make strikeouts worth a full point and get rid of the wins.
No, that is strikeouts worth a few points is awful. That just makes the strikeout pitchers so much more valuable than the good pitchers who don't really get that many strikeouts.
Most good pitchers get strikeouts.
No, I mean that you are allowed to be a good pitcher in baseball without striking people out.
It's extremely difficult.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it isn't. I mean, all right, whatever. So fringy starting pitchers. I'm going to separate them into two categories. And Eichhoff was one of the guys that I wasn't too unhappy that I didn't pick him up last night, but whatever. I understand where I was coming from. But I'll separate him into the over 50% owned and under 50% owned. Over 50% owned, Adam Conley, Yordano Ventura, Mike Leake, Julio Arias, basically all owned in 73% of leagues. Conley, Ventura, Leake, and Arias, Pineda, and Eichhoff. Who are your top three in that group of six?
Conley, number one. Arias, and Eichhoff.
I would go Conley, Eichhoff, and I'm not giving up on Michael Pineda.
You'd take him over Arias?
It would depend on what I had on my team at that moment. Like if I need somebody to start this week, I'd rather have Pineda. But if I'm just holding somebody at the end of my bench, I'd rather have Arias.
I was somewhat discouraged by the start by Julio Arias. 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk.
It's his best start of his career.
He threw 86 pitches and they pulled him.
Right.
That's why I was discouraged. I think they're going to handle him with kid gloves.
Yeah, and I mean, whereas with Tyone, you have some reason to believe that, when he pitches, he could go deep. I mean, there should be no illusions about Arias. I mean, they stated that, he's going to have a lot of short starts.
All right, so Michael Pineda, Heath, you're still not quite giving up on him.
No.
Al, do you feel the same way? Like, let's give him a little bit more. He's 2 good starts in a row now for Pineda. And by the way, the home run he gave up, 2-run homer, complete Yankee Stadium homer. First row of the right field seats, only stadium in the league that it's out of.
I mean, it is certainly possible that he's going to give up a 380 BABIP and a 20% home run to fly ball rate all year long. And if he does, then I'm going to look stupid for not giving up on him.
Well, the whole thing is I went through this last year, which is why I don't own any Pineda this year. So I have to sort of imagine what I'd be doing. I have a feeling I would have dropped him by now if I did own him.
Yeah, you would. If you dropped Michael Wacha, you'd drop Michael Pineda.
Yeah,
for sure.
Fair enough. But if I still had him, with a couple of good starts in a row, I wouldn't be dropping him now.
All right, here's your here's the second group of fringy starting pitchers owned in less than 50% of leagues. Jonathan Neese, who in his last six starts is pitching pretty well, not getting a lot of strikeouts, which means he's a terrible pitcher. But, Neese getting it done. Sean Manaea.
I mean, Jonathan Neese is your example of a pitcher that can be good without strikeouts?
Not necessarily. But Sean Manaea. So I knew this was going to happen with Manaea. He can't pitch. He can't pitch the third time through the order. Their opponents are hitting 409 against Sean Manaea.
It might be a little early to start making proclamations about what he can
or can't
do.
Well, right now he can't pitch third time through the order. Juan Nicasio had a good start. Zach Davies had his second good start in a row. And Wade Miley bounced back. So we got Neese, Manaea, Nicasio, Davies, and Miley. Were you interested in picking up any of these guys?
I've had Manaea on and off my roster from time to time this year. He is still the most interesting of this group to me.
Yeah, for me too. Really the only one at this point that I'm still very interested in. I mean, Zach Davies has surprised me, and you say two good starts in a row. He's had really one bad start since the beginning of May.
I was surprised. If you look at the earned runs, not that many given up, but the rest of it not great.
Until right,
his last
it's okay. Yeah. I'm not that excited about Davies, but he has exceeded my expectations. This start notwithstanding, I am now done with Miley.
Okay,
and I think he's probably going to lose the spot to Paxton eventually anyway. So, and I think Nicasio, good start for him, but I think his days are numbered in the Pirates rotation.
Yeah, very possible. Would you guys rather have Julio Urias or James Paxton?
Urias.
Agreed.
The more I thought about Paxton, I feel like I didn't give him enough credit yesterday.
This is the first time in the history of James Paxton that you didn't give him enough credit.
That is 100% true. The stuff is enticing. I feel like my love for James Paxton predates Heath.
It's known worldwide. I didn't need to be on the podcast to know about it.
All right, email of the day, number one at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com is from Will. He says, "Hey, Ryan, Johnny, and Blaine." And those are first-round quarterback busts. Will says, "I'm so sick and tired of all the hate/admitting that someone still isn't for real more than 2 months into the season. 2 weeks ago, I dropped Tulowitzki for Eduardo Nunez, and I'm sure I would have been ridiculed by everyone on this podcast. But guess what? I haven't looked back. At what point are you guys, other than Adam,
because Adam's great,
going to admit that maybe someone is good now or just won't live up to the hype after 2 months? Looking at you, Vince Velasquez." Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for saying other than Adam, Will. That's why this is email of the day.
Obviously. That's step one to getting your email read is insult everyone besides Adam.
We're 10 weeks into the season, though, so are you guys doing an about face, or are you guys finally coming around on someone that you weren't before, or hating someone that you weren't before?
Sure. Well, on Nunez, I made a 90-degree turn, not a 180. There's been a long history. And look, I mean, 2 months in the scheme of things isn't that long. I mean, it seems long, but I mean, we've seen lots of players be great for 2 or 3 months and then they find their resting point. It's not like Nunez is, a young kid.
Yeah.
So, but the power, I don't really buy it, but I do think that the steals are legit. I think as long as he gets steady play, that he'll help you there. And I think that that's enough. So
I feel like shortstop is like the perfect position for this entire question.
Yeah.
Because we've got Trevor Story. We've got Tulo. We've got VR, we've got Nunez, and we've got Addison Russell.
And by the way, I approve the move. There's no ridicule coming from me on this, and that has
dropping
Tulo, because I think
like, and I think just like, because I made quite a few rankings adjustments.
Tulo is toast. Is that what you just said?
Yes, it is.
Wow,
cinnamon toast Tulo.
And I think there's an interesting dynamic in the mid-teens and the shortstop rankings between VR, Russell, and Eduardo Nunez.
They're in the mid-teens?
Yeah.
It's just funny because they're all, well, two of them are top, like, eight shortstops right now.
Well, yeah, but maybe I should move them up even higher, way ahead of Russell.
So this is what you were talking about before the show.
I can't get Al to respond. I'm disappointed.
All right, so you said Nunez, VR, and Russell.
Like, this, when are you going to accept that VR and Nunez are good and Russell sucks?
I'm not gonna. Okay. I'm not gonna. And I'm surprised, Heath, yes, that this analysis from all people is coming from you, because what's different about Russell?
He's young.
Exactly.
Yes.
Young with a ton of upside.
What kind of upside, though? Because he doesn't. If power, you're talking about
power,
Kevin,
upside.
Power. All yeah. right. Because he doesn't steal, right? I mean, no. Some steals, but I don't know. He just doesn't do anything.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I mean, shortstop has become pretty good.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of shortstops now who are either hitting for power or have the potential to. So that does take some of the luster off of Russell. He doesn't stand out in the way that I thought he would a year ago.
I mean, he looks a lot like he did last year.
Okay, that's fair. But, I mean, I still think the best is yet to come from him.
And whereas, it probably is.
Whereas I think VR and Nunez, like I just said a moment ago, I don't think Nunez is going to keep up the power that we've seen from him, even though he hit two yesterday. Right?
Two home runs, yeah, off of lefties, off of Adam Conley.
Now,
yeah.
I do think with VR, like, and I saw somebody make this point earlier this season, one stolen base is worth more than one home run in Roto. Because there are not near as many stolen bases as there are home runs.
It's a good point.
So if VR's anywhere close to this good and leads the league in stolen bases, Russell is not going to hit enough home runs to be as good as him.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of concerns.
Okay.
Right? First of all, I think
he's not going to be this good.
VR not going to be this good. But no, I mean, I've come around some on VR too, and those steals do go a long way. I do worry. A month and a half, 2 months from now, how much is he going to be playing? If he gets cold and Orlando Arcia is up, how much is he playing? Now, I think it should be Aaron Hill that loses playing time, but, you know, a lot can happen in a month, month and a half, 2 months. And Russell, I think he has better opportunities to produce runs, even hitting low in the order.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. When I looked at VR a couple weeks ago, it didn't really seem like anything was that different. Yeah, he's walking more, right?
Yeah, all the Brewers are.
And he's got like a 400 BABIP.
But he's okay. But his batting average at that point wasn't much higher than it was last year. He doesn't hit for any power. So he's going to hopefully get on base, score some runs because he leads off, have a lot of at bats because he leads off, and steal bases.
Right.
I feel like it's fairly legit. I mean, I'm confident enough to offer Alcides Escobar to Heath in our Roto League because I have VR. Are you going to take that trade, by the way?
I doubt it.
Alcides Escobar for Luke Gregerson.
You're getting Gregerson?
Yeah. Take it. Come on. Make the trade. Hit accept already.
I don't have any reason.
Okay. I would, especially in your situation, I would definitely rather have Gregerson.
Well, I have Will Harris. So.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. I think I'm going to need a little more. I'd take VR.
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay.
Email of the day number two is from Bennett, the Giants fan in L.A. He says, hey, Richard Ehrlich and Dinesh. Who's this?
I don't know. I just know it's Dinesh.
Okay. Well, if you guys could look up Richard Ehrlich and Dinesh, I'd appreciate that. I love the question the other day about the walk-up song. That's what I ask people whenever I go to a game with someone new. What would your walk-up song be? The ultimate walk-up song would be the Price is Right theme song, and to walk up like you've just been told to come on down. Actually, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah,
I would like that. It would get really old.
I don't think it would.
I think it could only work in a minor league park.
I think it's universally terrific and does not get old. In fact, somebody sent us a link of an ESPN story. The Dodgers, I think they used, on Sunday, Joe West was their home plate umpire, and they used songs off Joe West's like country album.
Yes, as walk-up songs.
As their walk-up songs. That's really funny. Anyway, here's the question from Bennett, the Giants fan in L.A. I'm curious what to do with Carlos Gomez. I was on the verge of dropping him, but he has started to show signs of life. What should we be expecting from Gomez rest of season? And I have four guys that I want to know if you think they're coming out of it. They're coming around and getting back to what we were hoping for from them. And Gomez is the first one. He's 78% owned, and as minor of a hot streak as you can get. It's two home runs in three games. But he does have six steals so far this year. Gomez, yeah, what do you think? Gomez, is he at least at this point, like 78% on? That means he's out there in some leagues. Would you want him on your team just to see where this goes?
Well, there's no way he should be on the waiver wire in a five outfielder league. And I think for the most part, he should be owned in three outfielder leagues. I could definitely see a situation in a 12-team league where everything went right for you at outfielder and you needed to drop him. But I think if it was a three outfielder league, there's probably somebody in that league that should pick him up.
I disagree with that.
Carlos Gomez.
Carlos Gomez, yeah. I think the 78% is probably right, because I think that probably does mean that where he's not owned is really shallow points leagues, and he definitely shouldn't be owned there. You know, and right. Maybe some 12-team, you know, three outfielder leagues.
Right.
And I don't think he needs to be owned there either. I mean, I'm not even sure he's going to contribute in standard mixed roto, but I do agree that if this is something, if it's a case of that Gomez is just finally healthy and that's what he's needed, then yeah, then he needs to be owned in roto just to see where this goes.
Richard Ehrlich and Dinesh are Silicon Valley, whatever. I've never seen it. But apparently very, very funny for great things. All right, so some other players on this Are They Coming Around list. Brian Dozier, another pretty minor hot streak, but he does have three home runs in his last 12 games, or maybe four home runs in his last 12? I think three. Three home runs in his last 12 games, at least one hit in 10 of 12 games for Brian Dozier. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. I mean, look, he mostly... what he gives his home runs. He's not going to hit for average. You'd like to see him score some runs. I think with the Twins lineup this year, that's probably asking a little too much. He'd have to do something much more than this for me to get back on board.
On board is different with Brian Dozier, I think, than it is with Carlos Gomez. He's still like 90-something% owned, right?
I didn't even check because I figured.
I don't think Brian Dozier should be dropped, even in leagues where there's no middle infielders. The 12-team league, he's going to be one of the top 12 second basemen the rest of the way. He's not going to be one of the top five like we all expected him to be.
Do you know where he is now?
I'm sure he's not in the top 12 right now.
Yeah.
No. Kipnis or Dozier rest of the season?
I think I have those two back-to-back in my rankings, and I think I have Dozier one spot higher.
I think I've got him back-to-back, too. I may have I'm pretty sure I have Kipnis higher.
You have both of them behind Derek Dietrich, right?
They're all in the same territory. I think I've got Dietrich behind them.
Yeah, I've got Dozier eighth and Kipnis ninth.
DJ LeMahieu or Brian Dozier rest of season?
I've got both of them well ahead of LeMahieu.
LeMahieu versus Dozier? Oh, to me, no brainer. LeMahieu.
It's weird. I kind of agree.
I don't understand why LeMahieu's under the radar again. He's doing pretty much what he did last year. He hits for average. He gives you some steals.
I think he has 14 doubles.
Yeah, he hits doubles.
So, but even in Roto, you'd rather have LeMahieu.
Well, it does get you the steals, which I guess are more valuable than
I would
runs,
definitely
right?
rather. Right. Definitely
yeah,
rather.
He got six steals.
He gives you an enormous advantage in batting average.
That's true. That's yeah, true. And runs. Because, well, it depends where he hits in the order. He's been kind of mixing it up.
He's been in the bottom half more than the top half.
Not recently, though, because Story got moved down, so LeMahieu's been, and he does have 14 doubles. LeMahieu's been moved up in the order. Dozier, meanwhile, has been moved down in the order. He's hitting more in an RBI spot than a run scored spot.
Right.
And I think that's going to really change his value because, well, I don't know if he's going to have that many RBIs because he hits 230 and the lineup stinks. Justin Upton, is he coming out of it? Again, this is a modest hot streak, but he's been hitting better lately. He had one of two hits off Aaron Sanchez. One thing I noticed with Upton and Gomez is that their plate discipline has gone way down this year. And even when you look at a bad stretch last year for Upton, what we talked about a few weeks ago, he had a 49-game stretch in 2015. Upton hit 182 with six home runs, and then he went back to being himself after that. But 22 walks to 58 strikeouts in that bad 49-game stretch. This year for Upton, 14 walks to 78 strikeouts, so more than double his career strikeout-to-walk ratio. Is Justin Upton coming around, or are there genuine concerns here?
I don't think this is a minor hot streak. I mean, he got eight hits in his last five games, three extra base hits in his last two games. I think he's back.
I agree.
This is vintage Justin Upton hot streak. Probably going to be another cold streak coming in another 30 to 60 days, but he's back for now. I'd put him in my starting lineup next week.
I think he's back, but I think he's worse as a player than... I think last year was the beginning of a decline. Is that... What do you guys think? Because if you look at the total numbers at the end of last year, especially when he stopped stealing, he's gotten worse. And I think he might be at that point of his career where he's going to be streaky, and at the end of the year, he's just not going to be as good as he used to be. Like Adam Jones.
And I think Upton is at the stage of his career where, whether it's this season, rest of this season, or maybe even next season, where, you know, we've all counted him out, and then all of a sudden, he's back. So there's I'm not ready to buy into the idea that he's on the slippery slope of decline.
All right, Anthony Rendon, since May 1st, he's batting .286 with a .384 on base and a .516 slugging percentage. Rendon has 6 home runs and 5 steals since May 1st. Do you think he's back?
I maintain there was never anything actually wrong with Anthony Rendon.
Yes, you did.
I'm glad that his statistics are starting to look more like his peripherals and not vice versa.
Okay, good.
I was not in that camp. I did think there was something. I won't even say I thought there was something wrong with Rendon. I thought he was overrated to start with, but
right.
But I may have to reconsider that.
We'll see. Yeah, maybe he's somewhere in between.
I think
what the two of you thought.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, I guess we'll find out. Now, you know what I look forward to every day? I'll tell you. After I go through all the games, read all the recaps, put the show notes together, it's time to make a FanDuel lineup. And that's just another fantasy baseball league that I get to play in. But I get a new team every day, and that's what we love about FanDuel. New players, new lineups, new challenges, new chances to win money every single day. Over 1 million users have won money on FanDuel. It's a lot of fun. It's a great chance to see how you stack up with other fantasy baseball buffs. So play on FanDuel.com right now. A special offer for new users. Enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. The promo code is HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, for that special offer on FanDuel. All right, still to come on the show, we'll talk about Dallas Keuchel and Cole Hamels, Jacob deGrom and Zach Greinke. Joe Ross had a bad start, some bullpen stuff. But first, here's a tweet of the day. From Jared Grossman, can you talk about Will Myers and his rank as a first baseman? I feel like no one's talking about Will Myers. He's quietly having an amazing year. So let's break out the legitometer. 0 to 10. 10 is you're buying this. They are this good. 0 is they're not even close to this. You should consider dropping this guy as soon as he gets cold. Will Myers, believe it or not, number 7 first baseman in points leagues, number 2 in Roto. Oh, my goodness.
That's shocking to me. Well, I know first base has been bad.
Tied for the most steals with Goldschmidt. 36 runs is a lot.
Yeah.
And he's batting .290, so the batting average is
good. With the Padres, how does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Will Myers, 0 to 10 on the legitometer.
I'm going to have to go 4, and I was thinking maybe even 3. And the value's got to be boosted by those run production numbers. And I just don't think he gets on base enough to sustain that, especially hashtag in that lineup.
.324 on base percentage. Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, and like a .324 on base percentage with a .290 average, and we don't think he's a .290 hitter. So the on base percentage is probably going to come down even more. This has totally caught me off guard. I had no idea that Will Myers ranked this well, and I'm baffled by the fact that he is producing runs like this. I'll go 5.
Okay. So would you be looking to sell Will Myers or just keep him and expect lower expectations?
If you could find somebody else that knew what was going on.
Well, you can't find someone that's going to value him as the number 2 or probably even the number 7 first baseman. Like, if you could get... it goes without saying. If you can trade Will Myers for Jose Abreu or Edwin Encarnacion or one of those guys, then do it. But I don't even know that I'd trade him for Freddie Freeman. Well, I don't know that I'd trade him for Adrian Gonzalez.
And what I'm wondering is, like, is this more about how great Will Myers has been or is this more about how awful first base has been?
Look, he's got 10 home runs in 7
seasons. Where does he... I'm trying to see and... Where he ranks amongst
17th
outfielders.
17th or something like that.
Okay, so he's in the teens even amongst outfielders.
Will Myers is number 17 in points, number 11 in Roto.
That's ridiculous.
10 steals, yeah. 10 home runs, 7 steals. That's something.
Yeah, that is.
It is, and yeah, I don't know. And I don't entirely trust either of those rates either, the home run or the stolen base rate for him, just based on what he's done in his career.
But he did hit for power, Will Myers, before his wrist injury last year.
It was
brief, but it happened.
You know, but he has also been injury prone, and I think that's a big part of my skepticism.
All right. Well, Freddie Freeman or Will Myers?
Yeah, It's like, as when you said Aegon's, I would definitely take that deal.
You'd take it.
So I think if I take that, I got to take Freeman too.
I'd probably take Freeman too.
All right, Mark Trumbo, one of the top hitters in fantasy. 0 to 10.
Do I buy that he's going to be one of the top hitters in fantasy at the end of the year, or that he's going to have a career year? Because I would go 10 on career year.
Give me a projected batting average this point forward for Mark Trumbo.
260.
Yeah, I was thinking 265.
So hang on to him.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I'm selling him, probably.
Okay, how about Chris Carter? 2 home runs yesterday. He was pretty cold before that. Number 17 first baseman in points and number 10 in Roto.
Sounds about right to me. I don't think I have him ranked that high in Roto. Super streaky.
He's ahead of Encarnacion, Votto, Davis, Abreu, Gonzalez, and Freeman. So yeah,
and I expect almost all those first basemen to rebound. So yeah, in terms of what he's doing, I buy it.
But he's on like a got to be like a 40 homer pace, right?
Yeah, but he's absolutely capable of maintaining that.
Jake Lamb, Jake Lamb's having a good year. He's number 11 third baseman in points, number 13 in Roto. It's a very good position, so that's solid. And he's still not hitting well against lefties, but he's got 3 home runs against lefties. Overall, 268 with 11 home runs for Jake Lamb, 23 walks, 47 strikeouts, and 14 doubles. 0 to 10 for Lamb.
I'll give him a 6.
I'll give him a 9. I mean, I think this is absolutely legit, but those splits are a problem, and I think the threat that going forward he may not play very often against lefties. It's made it hard for me to get him in the lineup in our podcast points league.
Trace Thompson is he's played 93 games, and his slash line, Trace Thompson, is 271, 356, 566 in his career, with pretty similar numbers last year and this year. And he's playing well.
Which I think that would be his best year in the minors as well.
So 0 to 10 on the legitometer for Trace Thompson.
3.5.
Well, I'll go 5.
All right. I'm not fully buying in
to
Trace Thompson. How about Adam Duvall, number 26 outfielder in points, number 14 in Roto, 4 home runs in his last 5 games, and now he's left Coors Field and he's still hitting for power.
360.
Well, based in Cincinnati, right? They're playing home?
Yesterday they were.
I mean, that's a super venue for him. I do not buy the batting average, so that takes him, if he were batting 230, I'd say Duvall's about an 8, but at 270, I'll give him a 3.
I'm going to give him a 6 because I don't care as much about the batting average. I think he's a good source of power.
Duvall or Adam Eaton? In Roto, where Eaton's really not giving you the category stuff that you need.
That's tough. I'm almost positive I still have Eaton a little ahead of Duvall.
I still have Eaton ahead of him, too.
That's one I might have to reconsider. I mean, if I'm looking at a lineup, I mean, there's going to be weeks where I'd rather play Eaton. I mean, Duvall needs to be in a good hitter's park. But yeah, I think more often than not, I'm going to go Duvall.
The fact that you're even considering that means that you think Duvall is pretty legit and that he's not just going to completely fall off a cliff.
Right.
That's what I worry about with some of these guys, that they're just going to be horrible.
And I think he's got that potential. He's that kind of hitter. A lot of fly balls, strong pull tendencies, a lot of strikeouts, although I think he's brought those down recently, Duvall. He could just really do a complete turnaround and kill your team for a number of weeks.
Marcell Ozuna or Adam Duvall?
Ozuna.
Okay, injuries, news, and notes, part 2. Ketel Marte was scratched with neck spasms. Buster Posey day-to-day with a thumb injury. Evan Longoria sat with total body soreness.
Man, if I didn't come to work every day I had that, I
wouldn't. That's the day after... That's Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving, after I play football once a year.
Yeah.
And total body soreness after that. Leonis Martin could come off the DL on Friday. I think what's kind of interesting here is what happens to Dae-Ho Lee, who's been playing more regularly, even against righties, been playing some against righties, every day against lefties. And I don't know, he might just be better than Adam Lind.
I think he probably is. He's hitting pretty well against righties.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, I think he is, too.
They might have to make that swap. Lynn's just having a bad year.
I'd like to see it. I'm not sure it will happen, but I think it should happen.
And Lee is 16% owned, so deeper leagues, Dae-Ho Lee, maybe keep him on your radar. Chris Davis dealing with finger numbness. Ruby De La Rosa will be out at least until August, but he does not need Tommy John surgery. Jarrett Parker homered again for the for the Giants, so there's a power source in deeper leagues. And Johnny Peralta is 36% owned, and he went 2-for-4 with two doubles at the Reds. And Yan Gomes has a testicular contusion. Get well soon, Yan Gomes. Let's do the rotation here. Let's do the pitchers. Remember that email we had yesterday? It was, do you get frustrated when managers leave their aces in too long and it ruins their final line? That's exactly what happened to Dallas Keuchel. He gave up a two-run homer to Ian Desmond in the eighth. Otherwise, it would have been two runs in seven innings. Instead, it's four runs on 10 hits and 7 1/3, but 8 strikeouts. Keuchel said it was the best he's felt all year. And if you look at the last 3 starts for him, I'm actually feeling it with Dallas Keuchel. I think if somebody just sees the final line and sees the 4 runs and 7 1/3, you might be able to steal Dallas Keuchel from that owner.
What's a steal?
I would trade Aaron Sanchez for Keuchel. And I don't even think that's a steal.
I would go lower than that.
I would
trade Aaron Sanchez for him as well.
I would trade, I don't know, it's hard to say, but excess on your roster that you don't need.
Sanchez is a good example. I think that's a steal.
Okay. Cole Hamels, you guys worried about him?
No.
No, not at all.
I'm worried about it in this respect. I was hoping he was going to bounce back and have one of those like 270 or 280, 290 ERA seasons, because he's been a little, you know, off and on in his career. And I look at the hits that he's given up. He's given up 8.2 hits per nine. And you look at 2013, 2015, and 2016, he's been right around 8.2 hits per nine, and he's had a 360, 365, and now a 332 ERA, which probably makes him closer to top 20 rather than top 12, which is what I was hoping for from Hamels. It's my analysis.
Also really interesting, I looked at this, and I don't know, I hadn't looked in past years, but Hamels has thrown less pitches in the strike zone than any starter in baseball.
And he's got a career-high walk rate.
Those might go hand in hand.
Is that a new development for Hamels? I thought that was always sort of his thing.
No, I said I had not looked at, at past years, so maybe he'd always thrown more. But I feel like the wildest, not maybe not wildest, least in the strike zone pitcher in baseball would be a new development.
Yeah, well, yeah, because Liriano.
Liriano's third this year.
Yeah. So I see in the notes here, is this right? 14 home runs, that's this season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's shocking to me because he's been one of the better pitchers in terms of average fly ball distance allowed. That is very odd to me, and I can't think that rate is going to last.
Hamels or Keuchel?
I've still got Hamels higher.
I do too.
What do you think of Jacob deGrom? 6 innings, 3 runs, no walks, 9 strikeouts.
Yep, perfectly fine. I think he's going to be fine and be top 12 or 15.
Can we look up his velocity? Anybody see it? I saw a few pitches, thought it might have been a little bit better, but I barely watched the game.
Okay, I had not seen his velocity.
Look it up, because it's been down this year.
I can do
that. Go, Heath, go.
I can do that.
It's on you, Heath.
Zach Greinke, complete game shutout, 3 hits, only 2 strikeouts.
Got a little bit of that regression going back in his favor.
Yeah, no concern about the strikeouts.
No, but I mean, that is weird. Against the Rays, strikeout kings. Mm-hmm. Have no explanation for that. Also not worried.
Kyle Hendricks, is he over-owned at 92%? Remember, his previous 2 starts were awesome.
Yeah. I do think Hendricks is a little bit over-owned.
Maybe in 10-team leagues he's...
Exactly. Okay. More of a streamer in those kinds of formats.
And Joe Ross had a terrible start, and he walked 4. He gave up 5 runs on 4 hits in 4 innings. Previous 2 starts were very good, but he's showing some inconsistency, Joe Ross.
Yeah, but he's had fairly consistent control, and that abandoned him in this particular start, so I wouldn't read too much into it.
Okay, his four-seam fastball velocity, that being Jacob deGrom, was lower last night than it had been over his prior 2 starts. His sinker velocity was a full mile per hour lower than it was in his last start.
I don't like it.
But you see these kinds of fluctuations game to game.
Yeah, it still is not close to last year.
His slider was 2 miles an hour slower than it was in his last start. But it was still 93.78.
Oh, okay. You know, so that's interesting because I remember arguing with Chris about this. Because, you know, remember Chris was saying that DeGrom is at an age where he's going to lose velocity or whatever, and I was like, you're an idiot, but not in those terms.
No, you pretty much said it in those terms.
It's just, I thought that was so ridiculous. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the idiot. I didn't think he was throwing as hard as Brooks Baseball had him on 2 starts ago, and I think it might have been front-loaded because I kind of caught the middle of that game. But whatever, I'm just going to let Brooks Baseball do their thing. In the bullpen, Aroldis Vizcaíno blew a save. Santiago Casilla struggling a bit lately, and Hunter Strickland's been pitching a lot better lately. Mark Melancon, two saves yesterday in that doubleheader, two scoreless innings and four strikeouts. Roberto Osuna has been a little off lately, and Luke Gregerson pitched well in a non-save situation.
Second straight appearance, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to get that job back.
Okay. Alcides Escobar is about to go crazy, Heath, so I would still do that deal if I were you. What about Casilla in San Francisco? Now, I think what happened was he pitched a scoreless inning, and then it came out for a second inning and struggled. And then another guy came in and gave up his runs.
I feel like Santiago Casilla for the last few years is always right on the teetering on the edge of losing his job, but then whenever we think he's going to lose his job, he's really good for a couple weeks.
Well, I think last year was the exception. I don't recall him going through a stretch like that last season, but yeah, he's kind of back to being, you know, a not so dominant closer. And yeah, I do think Hunter Strickland is a viable alternative there, but I have yet to see any sort of report that there's any question about Casilla's job security.
These guys are owned in 6% of leagues or less. John Lamb, Matt Boyd, Ryan Rua, Albert Suarez, any interest?
I am the 2% of Suarez, I think, because I have him in a couple leagues.
Champion of the deep leagues.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good start against the Red Sox, and that's definitely something to pay attention to, but he also may not be in that rotation very long because Kane, I don't think, is that far off from returning.
I don't think that I've talked about Cole Calhoun more than maybe once in 10 weeks since the season started. And again, I'm not going to talk about him. I feel bad for Cole Calhoun, but he's having a very interesting year. He is a completely different hitter, and we'll save time and talk about him tomorrow. Let's finish the show with a few emails and tweets. This is from Ethan. Grade the trade in a 10-team keeper league. Give up Michael Fulmer and Byron Buxton to get Justin Upton.
A.
Minus.
But I mean, I responded to this. In a keeper league, this is a great trade if the Upton owner is terrible this year. And he just got Fulmer and Buxton, if you're keeping a lot of guys, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Paul Popovich, I fall asleep every night listening to your baseball podcast. It really helps me relax and dream of being on a beach in Aruba and Jamaica.
That could really be taken one of two ways.
Yeah, definitely.
We're a trusted news source, or we're cure for insomnia.
I hope that's not the case. But I will say that baseball is one of my favorite things to fall asleep to, and last night was no exception.
I don't fall asleep to things. I fall asleep to dark.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. No. Well, it depends. I fall asleep on the couch to things, and then in bed I usually fall asleep.
Yeah, I'm not a sleep on the couch type of guy.
Oh, love sleeping on it. It's the best. We got Michael Keto. Rest of season: Trace Thompson or Domingo Santana?
Domingo Santana.
Really?
No, Trace Thompson. But I just wanted.
Domingo Santana.
I think Domingo Santana's got a hot streak in him. I'm going to stick with Domingo.
And should I drop Carlos Rodon for Jeremy Hellickson? This is Scott in Rochester.
This is such an Adam Azer overreaction.
No,
you
wouldn't do that,
but I'm pretty clearly sick of waiting for this guy's potential to play off. This guy is holding the potential of Carlos Rodon against him when he had no expectations for Jeremy Hellickson. So what Hellickson is doing now makes him think that Hellickson's better than Rodon.
It is the delicate balance, though, in fantasy baseball of playing for now and looking at what's happened so far.
But not with Rodon. I mean,
yeah, no, I agree.
I look, and Helkson's a guy that I'm targeting. If there's a league where he's available, I pick him up. But no, not at the expense of Rodon.
This is from Ford. Grade the trade to Ted Marshall and Barney, which I think is How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
I was offered Profar, Brantley, and Archer in a 7x7 categories league with quality starts instead of wins. Profar, Brantley, and Archer for Strasburg.
Profar, Brantley, and Archer.
Giving up Strasburg, getting Profar, Brantley, and Archer.
I don't think I'd take it.
No, I wouldn't either. That's D+.
Are you guys expecting zero from Brantley?
Brantley, pretty much.
Or at least you have to plan on zero. Like, you can't rely on anything for Brantley this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
Is that fair?
The latest report is pretty discouraging.
Mm-hmm. Although I read an analysis in a Cleveland newspaper about that report, which was like, they've already put him on the DL twice and have no timetable for Brantley coming back. That sort of seems like sensationalizing what we already knew.
That's a good point.
They might have serious concerns about Michael Brantley.
I think we needed that sensationalism. No, because we weren't thinking as negatively about him until we saw that report, and we should have been.
No, I was.
Okay, I
was. I kind of was, too.
Well, you guys were just so far ahead of me.
last one from Dave in Phoenix. Dear LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin, I'm not even excited about the game tonight.
I am.
You are?
Yeah. I enjoy watching greatness.
I might bet on the Warriors. They're one-point favorites. I think they might sweep at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of.
If the Cavs were going to win a game, it would be this one.
It would be. I was offered Jeff Samardzija and Kyle Seager for Charlie Blackmon. Would you give up Blackmon for Samardzija and Seager?
Nope. You betcha.
You would?
Yep.
Why? You would give up? Oh, okay. I mean,
yeah, no, I mean, because Samardzija, I mean, he's solid. You're going to start him almost every single week.
All right.
Yeah, I think, no, I wouldn't do that. But I think, where do you have Blackmon ranked? Do you not like Blackmon as much?
No, I want to say around 15th.
Okay.
This reminded me of Game of Thrones and the Blackfish. So
look, I think it's a good time to sell. He's not really stealing. I think he's a trade candidate in the second half, and that's going to absolutely zap his value.
Zap.
And you're getting now. I mean, look, if you've already got a third baseman,
look at the big jerk face. Look at the highlights of the big jerk face. Machado.
Yeah, I can't believe somebody would react like that to getting hit with a baseball. It's like he hadn't ever been hit before.
He'd get thrown out twice in the previous at bat, and then gets hit by 99 in the back.
Good thing Brandon Guyer doesn't do that every time he gets hit.
Alright, that's it for today's show. For Heath Cummings and Al Melchior, I'm Adam Azer. Nobody on this show is a big mean jerk face. At least not recently, I gotta say. It's been very harmonious lately, and I like that. See you later. Machado.